Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you heard is Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
School starting for some people already. That's crazy with a J.
Yeah,
in the
that
month.
Is.
That's bad.
That is bad.
Emma starts school on Wednesday.
You don't ever want to be a part of that as a kid.
No, you didn't. I know times have changed, and I know they're eventually going to try to get us to a year long school format. But this will be something that makes Kobe sound like me. He'll sound old. In my day, you had the summer off so you could forget everything.
Yeah.
None of these 2 weeks off every few months nonsense. Anyway, a little later on in the party, it's not the Blues House Party, it's Film Sociology. We're not sure if we're going to have sports talk here on the film show, but we definitely will have our friend and one of our regular contributors to Film Sociology, Robert Irvine. Classic chat I had with him in June. He's got a couple things. He has the what?
Did it in June, and it's already a classic.
It is already a classic, yeah. He has a new book about fitness and health and wellness, which has exercise regimens as well as recipes, called Fit Fuel. And then Robert is going to be doing his show, Robert Irvine Live, at the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana, on August 14th. So we'll replay my chat with him earlier this summer. So it'll be good to have him back on the show. We're trying to get him on for another chat next week.
Cool.
To see what kind of how things have changed with the live show since the last time Emma and I got to see it about a year ago. Anyway, so we'll get to that. Also, we do have an update with my daughter and her film habits of watching Quentin Tarantino pictures. I have solid news for that a little later on in the show. But I want to start with one of the better films to come out this summer, happy to say. And Kobe, I think we should get the trailer for this one, if that's all right. It's Mission Impossible. Hey, look, another impossible thing with Robert on the show. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Yes, Tom Cruise is back, as well as Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, Jeremy Renner is a part of this, as is Alec Baldwin. Rebecca Ferguson is the token female beauty who can whoop some butt. And Sean Harris is the villain this time around, as I believe The Onion referred to him as Steve Jobs, as played by Hannibal Lecter. Not a bad description. And the film is written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who, of course, will always have a special place in our hearts because he wrote The Usual Suspects. And he also directed Cruise in Jack Reacher, which is an enjoyable action film. Even if he's too short to play Jack Reacher, get over it, literary fans. It's not book sociology, it's film sociology.
That's right.
Anyway, so do we have the trailer?
Yes, we do.
I think we might have to break this one down.
Okay.
Should be a lot of fun.
Let's have a listen.
Here we go.
Green Band. Fade to black.
Thank you. Paramount.
The IMF is uniquely trained and highly motivated.
Oldest actor. Gravitas.
Specialist without equal, immune to any countermeasures. But it is an agency of chaos.
Alec Baldwin.
The time has come to dissolve
things.
The IMF.
Now I want you to choose your next words very carefully. Where is Hunt?
Last I heard, he was tracking the syndicate.
How come the CIA has never discovered any intel regarding this syndicate?
You want the polite answer or the truth?
Double talk. Action stuff.
We've never met before, right?
Follow me.
Light humor.
Light action humor.
Benji.
Ethan, where are you?
The syndicate is real. A rogue nation.
Phone box talking,
even though
there's not any phone boxes in London anymore.
Ready or not, here I come.
They're coming after us with everything they've got.
You ready?
This may very well be our last mission. Let's make it count.
So what's the play?
You want to bring down the syndicate? It's impossible.
Ah, title. Sort of.
New age alt metal for intense action sequences.
Yeah.
How do you know we can trust her?
Trust issues.
Desperate times. Desperate measures.
Get your seatbelt on?
You ask me that now!
Car stuff.
Oh, car, hey, boys, humor. What did I miss?
With a clumsy assistant.
Ethan?
Lalo Schifrin.
Benji! Open the door! Open the door!
Ridiculous plane stunt.
Oh my god!
Wow. Kobe takes a big breath. Do you watch the Mission Impossible films?
I have not seen any of them.
Really? Yes. None of them? Well, neither has Emma. Neither did Emma. The last night was her first one. I have seen all five. And what's cool about the series is that they are standalones. You do not need to watch them in any order.
It's not necessarily a continuing saga.
No, it is not. So you have that going for you. And each has had an interesting director work on them, and with various degrees. The first one was Brian De Palma, and what I remember was that a lot of people complained it was hard to follow. I didn't think it was all that hard to follow. I just wasn't really all that into it. Second one was directed by John Woo, which really brought in the first one, of course, has the famous scene with Tom Cruise on wires, mm-hmm. you know, not touching the floor and handling the computer. Very tense, very cool. The second one was John Woo, which really had over-the-top ridiculous action sequences. And, of course, it ticked people off when you could see flying doves in slow motion, which is a John Woo staple, but inside a dark, dank cave where doves don't hang out. Mm-hmm. But it's a John Woo film, so they go there. Third one was directed by J.J. Abrams and incorporated a great supporting performance from Philip Seymour Hoffman playing the villain. In fact, I think there's
that. Is that like 2005 or
this
six?
Was his. This, I think this is the film Hoffman did after Capote, so he won Best Actor and then got to play a villain and do a really really fine job as a villain in a blockbuster movie, and then the last one the last picture, which was directed by Brad Bird, the first live action film from Brad Bird, who gave us The Iron Giant and The Incredibles. And that had a really cool action sequence off the side of the world's tallest hotel in Dubai, all starring Tom Cruise doing crazy Tom Cruise stuff. I don't know. The scene you see in the trailer.
He's not really doing crazy Tom Cruise stuff. He's just doing crazy stuff.
Well, I guess, yeah, he's him being him, I suppose. But I would love to find out how they did the plane sequence, which is in the trailer. And by the way, it's in the beginning of the film. It's kind of a Bond type, you know, standalone moment in before the credits. So because you have those where you just have like this ridiculous opening sequence that really doesn't move the rest of the plot along. It's just kind of a cool thing to show off. So anyway, really fun stunts and. There's good camaraderie. I mean, I think this is the second or third film with Simon Pegg. I know Ving Rhames, I think, has been with the film from the beginning. Jeremy Renner is the guy who's kind of the liaison between.
That's the guy. Gosh, I couldn't think of his name.
Two-time Academy Award nominee, Jeremy Renner, mm-hmm. for you fans of Hurt Locker and The Town, and Hawkeye mm-hmm. for The Avengers. But and of course, he has to. Most of his scenes are with Alec Baldwin, who of course plays the head of the CIA, who's trying to.
It's also an art film.
It's not an art film. It's opening in 3,000 screens or more. How can it be an art film? Then again, also,
why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
You will have plenty of cool stuff to watch, Gina. Okay. It is really enjoyable. I think there's enough humor. It's light. I mean, yeah, Simon Pegg gets the most of it because he's the computer whiz in the group. Mm-hmm. But the action scenes are really cool. There's a couple of cool car chases and/slash motorcycle chases. And the other performance of, where I was mentioning earlier, Rebecca Ferguson, she's the lone female in this, where she helps Cruise get out of a situation where he's being held captive and tortured and beat up, shirtless, by the way. I didn't direct it. And of course, it's the whole, can you trust her or not? We find out she's working for the group that the Cruise and company are after, which is kind of an anti-version of his organization, run by Sean Harris. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. And,
y'all love it. So,
y'all.
Yeah, we all love it. And of course, Emma wants to watch all of the Mission Impossible films now, now that her Tarantino film plate is finished. Mm-hmm. But no, it's a fun time. You should go check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now that was a good movie.
Okay, and I think we'll do the trailer for this one as well. It's a new drama. It stars Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana, and it's called Infinitely Polar Bear, or as we like to call it around the house, Infinitely Polar Bear. Because we love, at the Soucy House, and I think the Slago House as well, we love the polar bears outside the Bloomington Public Library on campus. Go there. They're fun. Anyway, it's a story of a couple, mixed race couple in the early 70s in Boston with their two kids. Dad has a nervous breakdown, has to go into a hospital for a while, and then comes out and is going to take care of the two girls while mom travels to New York to get her master's and to go into law school. Here's the audio.
That is where your great-grandmother Gaga grew up. Your great-great-grandfather was once the richest man in Boston.
So how come we're so poor?
Would you like to see the inside?
Are we allowed? You can't just walk up and knock on people's doors.
Sweetheart, it's Boston. They're practically expecting us.
My father was diagnosed manic depressive in 1967.
Can I help you?
My great-grandmother grew up in this house, and, well, I wanted to show it to my girl.
I'm sorry, but I don't give tours.
That was so embarrassing!
He met my mother and told her all about his nervous breakdowns. She didn't care.
Why can't Daddy live here with us?
Daddy's still recovering from his breakdown.
He's a way better hook than you.
So they got married, and they had me.
Oh.
And then my sister.
I got into Columbia.
You can't take the girls to New York.
Here's my proposal.
We love you.
Bye.
You move in with the girls, and you take care of them.
We're gonna be late for school.
Me? It'd be good for me to have
a routine.
Hold on. Yes, yes, a routine. Have some breakfast. The most important meal of the day. Amelia, let's go! That's a lot of routine.
You can do it.
Is this something to do with feminism? You're all welcome to come to our apartment.
We don't want people to see how we live.
Big deal how you live. It's not your fault.
Girls tell me it has no floor.
It had no floor. I scavenged these from your kitchen.
Why do you have so much stuff?
Our dad is totally polar bear.
Bipolar. You're probably sorry you married him.
Never.
I love you. You want me to pick you up after school?
No!
I'll be here at 3.
My ex-husband would never do what you're doing. I think it's so evolved.
We do.
Most men would be completely emasculated by having their wife go off to be the breadwinner.
Oh, thank you.
Something Bianca might want to see?
I don't know.
Not sure?
Not sure.
Okay.
Do like Mark Ruffalo, though.
Hulk and Uhura together. or I forget her character in Avatar. Somebody green, somebody blue. I if you get a chance, of course, read Ed Johnson-Nott's review of this in Nuvo, and I'm stealing a line from Ed because it's very good. He refers to it as a bipolar wonder years, and that's pretty spot on. It deals a lot with Ruffalo dealing with his bipolarness. Sorry, that's not a word. But dealing with being bipolar and trying to have a routine, a daily routine, and trying to keep himself going, but also to raise his daughters while mom is away, while his wife is away. And there are moments. It's interesting that in the trailer you have this kind of lightweight sitcom music. And it's a little darker than that. I think the music
a little misleading.
A little misleading, because yes, and of course he on the surface looks like the kind of eccentric dad who's very spontaneous, but there's also some pretty dark moments which the trailer doesn't really show at all, or as much I should say. And I think people if you don't know about people who suffer from bipolar or people who are depressed, and in this case Ruffalo's character is institutionalized for a while, it does show the ends of the mood swings. And it's a good performance from Ruffalo, and Saldana's nice as well, and also kudos to the kids. I hope I'm saying this right. Imogene Wolodarski in her film debut, and Ashley Afeder, oh god Aufdermeade. Aufdermeade. Sorry about that. And this is her. This was her first film. And I know the other thing of note, she's in the series The Slap. That was on ABC, but two young kids that get to stand toe to toe with Ruffalo in a number of scenes and a few scenes with Zoe Saldana. I think when you have the situation, I think I wanted more of a family picture. As I said before the trailer, you have a mixed race couple in Boston in the late 60s and early 70s, and a lot of the focus is on Ruffalo trying to be Mr. Mom while he's dealing with his own issues. But and they do have a little bit of Zoe's character, especially trying to find work as an African American woman in the 70s. And I just wish I could have seen a little more of the family dynamic, more than just what is a darker at times version of Mr. Mom. So I mean it's good performances. I think I want a little more out of it.
Right. It's also an art film.
Okay, this one, yes, it's an art film because it's not opening on 3,000 screens. Other, just a note, also opening today is Vacation. And that's about it, really. It's just, I didn't ask for this. I mean, your guy Ed Helms is in it. Are you going to see it?
No, probably not.
Probably me neither. I think the vacation films are a tad overrated. Yes, I can't wait to get your emails that I hate cinema. But I from seeing the trailers, the fact that they allude to the original Vacations, meaning that Ed Helms' character is playing Rusty as a grown-up, and he's, of course, trying to talk about going on trips with his dad, but we're also doing a wink and a nod to the original movie. Ha! Oh, jeez. So, no, that's really okay. All right.
But there's other stuff happening.
Yes, there is. Let's shift gears. So you have Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. Definitely, that's a fun popcorn movie. Infinitely Polar Bear or Infinitely Polar Bear. Good performances. Disappointing script for me. But Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater? Have classes started?
Classes have not started. But
Though you don't go there, you have to know the calendar dates for events at IU.
No, classes have not started. However, IU Cinema gets back up and running next week. Next Thursday, actually all weekend with The Wolf Pack.
Oh, yes. The documentary, which I haven't seen yet.
Correct. Tonight at the IMA, their Summer Night Film Series, Major League.
You like Major League?
I've not seen that in so long, and I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
Wow. Good film. Good fun film. Hi, Rene Russo.
And then? The following weeks, we get into the Final Four of the IMA film series.
And to remind people, it is
August 7th, Singing in the Rain.
You're there for that.
August 14th, Lebowski.
We should be there for that.
August 21st, The Shining.
Ooh, that's good. And?
August 28th, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I don't know. I need to watch that again. It's been a while.
You've been talking about that.
I know. I keep saying it. And also, I should mention, I think it's the weekend of the 14th at the Phoenix. Lambs, the Silence of the Lambs musical, coming to the Phoenix Theater. There will be more about that as it gets a little closer.
Oh,
yes. Yep. You've seen Silence, right?
Not all the way through.
Okay. I won't tell Emma. Yeah, I will. Could be a bet item. Anyway, what else you got there?
At the Skyline.
Mm-hmm.
No triple feature
this
week, sadly.
What? Oh.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Man. Okay.
Yeah. But Pixels and Ant-Man.
Okay. That makes sense. Action films, lightweight action films, sure.
And at the Tibbs,
mm-hmm.
Mission Impossible followed by Jurassic World.
Big action movies, sure.
Vacation followed by Trainwreck.
R-rated comedies, yeah.
Pixels followed by Minions on screen 3.
Animate. Well, kid fair.
Yes.
Because Adam Sandler's involved in the other one.
And then here's the odd one out.
Uh-oh.
Ant-Man followed by Paper Towns.
Oh. One for him, one for her,
I guess.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I guess... Okay, I admit I have not seen Paper Towns because I was supposed to see it with my family, even though they saw it without me. But I guess you can't, apparently you can't have two weepy films at the drive-in. For instance, what would you pair up Paper Towns with other than, right? There's nothing else.
I don't know.
Age of Adeline? Who's going to go to the drive-in to see those? Girls. And their boyfriends. And their husbands. Kobe, we should go to the drive-in and see those.
Oh.
Oh. Honey, I'm watching the movie. You know what? That's actually not a bad question. Has there been a quote-unquote chick flick double feature at a drive-in?
No, I kind of feel...
Because it seems like, well, you know, for years I've joked about having the art house drive-in. Mm-hmm. I want the drive-in where you can watch Fellini and Bergman and Werner Herzog.
I feel like Tibbs had a chick flick double feature a couple weeks. Maybe it's been like a month or so ago, but I can't remember what it was.
I don't was it Age
this
of Adeline? Or something?
I don't know. I can't remember.
You know what? We'll have to check on that. Maybe that'll be our project for the weekend. Has there been not to be sexist, I guess.
A
date night double feature at the drive-in. Yeah. You think somebody's tried to do a Nicholas Sparks festival at the drive-in? It's a lot of cucumber salads and cucumber sandwiches. Seriously, we'll have to work on that. That should be interesting because normally, of course, with action, you know, at the drive-in, you know, it's action, it's comedy, it's horror, it's animated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not really date night, date movies.
No.
We'll have to check on that. So anyway, that'll be our project. And those who are listening, if you experienced a double feature like this at the drive-in, email me at msosi@wfyi.org or send me a note on Facebook or Twitter at Matthew Sosi and let us know and prove us wrong. I mean, that's intriguing. Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns. Couldn't somebody do that?
You could.
I guess you could. Maybe the art house, the drive-in should do that. There's anybody who has a couple hundred acres they want to help invest in our drive-in. Email me at. Are we on time?
We got a little bit.
Okay, let's take I know that's spot on the clock. Let's take a short break. We'll talk about a couple of DVD and Blu-ray titles, Emma's Quentin Tarantino Film Fest, and we'll get to my chat with Robert Irvine. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Charlotte Hornet.
Tyler Hansborough.
And by the way, depending on how things go next week, you might hear this chat with Robert Earp. In case you didn't hear it this week,
there it is again
next week. We'll see. Anyway, welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Socey. Actually, I have a couple things I forgot to mention before in the Mission Impossible thing. I was trying to figure out, because some of the new faces, like Rebecca Ferguson, trying to figure out what else she had done that I had seen her in of note. And she was in the Dwayne Johnson film of Hercules that came out last year. And Sean Harris, who plays the villain, was in Harry Brown, the Michael Caine revenge film, as well as the Ridley Scott Not Aliens prequel, Prometheus. So it's so Not Alien prequel. Anyway, new on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Not a lot. The animated film Home, which is the alien who is kind of an alien fish out of water with a human sidekick, and they're trying to get back. And the big note is it's voiced by Jim Parsons, because he's got to find something to do once Big Bang Theory is over, and because he shouldn't have to be typecast as nerdy guys for the rest of his career.
Except he is.
You never know that.
One.
Well, it's animated, so it's slightly.
Well,
different.
Yeah, it okay, but it's the same. It's the same persona.
Persona. This alien isn't nearly as smart as Dr. Sheldon Cooper.
Okay.
Anyway. Also out is Water Diviner, a film, the directorial debut of actor Russell Crowe, who is also in this. And then for a couple old titles, and I think of Mr. Blonde talking to Mr. White in Reservoir Dogs saying, I bet you're a big Lee Marvin fan. Well, there's a couple Lee Marvin films out from the 70s. Different time, Kobe.
Totally.
Prime Cut and Monte Walsh are now out on Blu-ray. And speaking of Reservoir Dogs, yesterday, I'm proud to say, I'm ready to accept my Father of the Year award. My daughter Emma has now completed every major feature film written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. We ended it yesterday with Reservoir Dogs, followed by Death Proof. And she thought Reservoir Dogs was easier to follow compared to Pulp Fiction, even though she loved Pulp Fiction. But she understands where the nonlinear storytelling comes from, and she loved the stunts in Death Proof, especially Zoe Bell. So
cool.
Real stunts done by real people. So congratulations, Emma. We now move on to apparently Mission Impossible movies, as well as the films of Wes Anderson and James Bond. You know, Friday at the Socey House. All right.
Natural progression.
That's right. Robert Irvine, our buddy from Food Network, has a new book out called Fit Fuel, which has exercise regimens as well as tasty recipes for a better lifestyle. And he's going to be performing live at the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana. The ad campaigns say Chicago. It's really Hammond, Indiana. On August 14th. And earlier this summer, or in June of this year, I spoke with our old friend. He's not old. I'm just old. Here's my chat with Robert Irvine. Ladies and gentlemen of Film Sociology Land, he has returned, rising from the ashes. It's probably not really ashes. They're probably from a barbecue. But Robert Irvine is with us on the show. How are you, sir?
What's up?
How has your summer been so far?
It has been crazy. We're launching a food line into retail with the proceeds going to our foundation. The live show is going ridiculously crazy. You know, we just finished a new show called Chopped Impossible. Restaurant Impossible returns for its 12th season, and we have a daytime talk show that we are in the middle of getting going. So it's crazy.
Wow. Well, I normally let you go ahead and promote what you have going, but I have to ask this right away because this is the film show. Have you and Gail seen Mad Max yet?
We saw it two nights ago, and wowza! The only movie with no story, but lots of bangs and excitement.
I'd say there's some story. It's about the birthing agents, but yeah, it is. I showed Emma the last 20 minutes of the second film of The Road Warrior, and I was screaming about real stunts done by real stunt people, and Fury Road does not fail to deliver on that part.
I've got to tell you, I was clinching my seat and holding Gail's hand for white knuckles in some of it. That's the type of movie that I don't know, when you've worked out all day and you just want to go and see a good movie. And obviously, the original Mad Max I went to see. So it was good to see, hey, a new face, or two new faces. Charlize Theron did an awesome job, I thought.
Yep.
But again, I like her as an actress. So I just really loved the movie. I thought the driving scenes, the explosions, the silliness with the guitar, the fight scenes, just really cool stuff.
I think you need, for your live shows, I think you need a double neck guitar that shoots flames and seven dojo drums.
I think yes. I think you're right. Maybe we should have to talk to Josh and get that done.
Absolutely. Yes. If anybody can do it, it's Josh. I would say, you talk about clenching your fist. I think the next time you go, you should probably just bring a bag of walnuts, because by the time the movie's over, you have a snack waiting for you.
I think poor Gail's hand was like that. For me, the excitement of movies is pretty much like the live show. You know, you spend 2 hours or an hour and 45 in a movie, and it's an escape from life. You know, you're eating ice cream or you're drinking a soda, whatever you do in the movies, and it takes you to that place. You know, what would you do if you're in that position? And Mad Max was one of those. The Avengers of the Age of Ultron was another one we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like the movies. I tell you one of the movies I didn't think that I would really get into, but I really did, The Age of Adeline.
Oh, yeah.
I really love that movie.
I wound up reviewing it, and because on the surface it kind of looks like a Nicholas Sparks novel, you know, the kind of, you know, glossy, kind of sugar-coated stuff, but it's a film that's really smart about its concept. And you have good people in it, and that means a lot, actually.
It kind of reminded me of what was that when Mel Gibson never aged, you know,
Forever Young.
Pilot. What was it called?
Forever Young.
Forever Young. That's what it reminded me of, but done a lot smarter.
Yes, absolutely.
And I really enjoyed that. And it, you know, Gail always says to me, "Oh, you love chick flicks." And I'm like, "That wasn't a chick. That was a good movie."
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Gail normally picks the movies, and I just tag along because I want to look cool with her. But
well, you could say that Mad Max is a chick movie, because I didn't know there was going to be more than just Charlize Theron. I didn't know there was going to be these wonderfully leathered skinned Australian women that could shoot a bow and a rifle like nobody's business.
Yeah. Right. Them Australian women, you got to watch out for them, you know.
And I'm assuming Gail enjoyed it as well, because that is 2 hours of girl power, and yeah. I can't wait to show it to my daughter.
Gail, my wife, is all about strong women and making sure that we respect. You know, she's all about respect, and I think that did it for her. So, and I think she could see her playing one of them pieces, funnily enough.
Well, I'm going to hopefully set up a chat with her fairly soon, but I keep bringing up the idea of a female Expendables, and hopefully she'll be a part of it.
Yeah, she, you know, obviously you saw the thing she did, all the stunts she did in that Royal Kill movie or whatever it was called.
Ninja's Creed, yeah.
I think she, you know, and she's my wife, so I'm gloating a little bit, but I think she can do anything. She's like my superhero, so.
Absolutely. Very good.
I'm very blessed.
So did you take, now was it just you and Gail, or were the girls with you as well?
No, just me and Gail. You know, it's kind of, when we get downtime, it really is about just chilling. And for me to watch two movies back to back at any one time is normal. You know, we'll come out of one movie, go straight into another theater and watch another one. Because I don't get a lot of time to do that. Movies are my thing, and I really enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. Did they have drive-ins in England? Have you ever been the one?
We didn't have drive-ins, no. Although, obviously, America, the old drive-in big-screen movie theaters are, and I actually saw an old one that's in Tampa here that obviously they don't use anymore. It's rusted away, and the screen's still there, and it's overgrown. But, you know, that's another cool thing. You know, I used to see Jersey. Movies in the park on a Sunday night.
Yes.
Similar type of concept, but you took your chair and a blanket or whatever and just sat and watched with kids.
Yeah.
That Annalise and Talia and I used to do. So I like that concept. I just think it's a great way to relax, you know, family in the dark. And it's better for me to be in the dark. It means people don't come up to me and like, hey, Robert, can you take a picture?
Right. There's a couple of drive-ins still in central Indiana, and the goal this summer is to get the family out to a drive-in. So yeah, I guess you got to search and see if they're still out there in your neck of the woods.
Well, yeah, and I travel so much now, Matthew, and you know, it's crazy. I do want to see the new San Andreas.
Oh, yes.
That's on my list.
Yep.
Gail wants to see Aloha. It's so funny because Pitch Perfect, my girls wanted to see it, and I've been tweeting back and forth with some people from that show. This is kind of funny. I looked at the, what's her name from Spy, Melissa?
Melissa McCarthy.
McCarthy. That looks kind of fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good entourage, obviously, is on everybody's tongues right now. So I think there's some good stuff going on.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you can find some time with that. But I know one of the things you have going is Fit Fuel. And you're now in bookstores. Tell us about Fit Fuel.
Well, it's not out yet.
Okay.
But we've been pre-selling the Fit Fuel book, and it's all about health and wellness and families and eating healthier, but more getting kids in the kitchen, getting to work out with them. And that doesn't mean in a gym. That could be walking the dog. It could be whatever. But Fit Fuel is a real departure from, you know, they wanted me to do another cookbook. And I refused just to do another cookbook. I wanted to do something that people could take and put on their table and actually use as a reference. You know, if they go to the gym and there's a lot of philosophy. There's a lot of information about how to pick foods and choose foods. The labeling and all those sort of things. Lots of great hints in there. Amazing food photography. I'm the model, actually, in the book, which is funny, for the exercises. And I will give you a sneak peek. There is one half-naked body at the end of it that shows 8 weeks of working out with this eating plan in there. And Matt Tuthill, who is the senior editor of Muscle and Fitness, helped me write the book. But really just following my philosophies and principles of food, healthier eating, using acids, you know, orange juices, lemon juices, fresh herbs, and making it more simple, having fun working out and changing lifestyles.
Well, I've seen a couple of the pictures, which made me wonder, did Gail photograph these?
No. Gail, it's so funny because Gail was the one, you know, when I did the magazine cover, Gail was the one that was keeping me on the straight and narrow. No, I love pound cake and I love ice cream, and I could only have one cheat day a week. But, you know, I believe in that cheat day. You know,
sure.
If we stick to these, you know, mundane diets and eating plans, nobody ever has fun. And I want it to be indulgent as well as, you know, being smart about picking choices and healthy choices, whether you travel or whether you're at home. But really getting your kids involved in that.
Yes.
Because I think the kids need to understand where the food comes from, that it's fun to understand, it's fun to clean, it's okay to make a mess, and it's okay to mess up things. But then you clean it up and you move on and you go on. And I want people to know that if they make a mistake, it's okay.
And it seems like it's a never-ending battle between quality versus quantity.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, most restaurants in this country seem to think that the more you put on the plate, the bigger the people, you know, the it entices more people, and that's not the case. I wish they would change that philosophy. You know, just put good food that's cooked well, that starts with a good product on a plate, keep it simple, and people will come back and they will eat. You know, it's funny because, you know, gyms and health fads, obviously January 1, everybody wants to be fit, and then by January the 17th, everybody doesn't give a monkeys anymore. Hopefully this book will inspire a lot of people, like Restaurant Impossible, and a few other things that we do that make them make that conscious lifestyle choice. And it's funny because Fitness Impossible, even though it wasn't picked up, the episode we've done, and I talked to those three folks, the police officer from New Orleans, TJ, the 420-pound guy who's lost 85 pounds to date, even with a bad knee, and the guys are amazing. I talk to them every day, and the mom and daughter that you saw just wanted to get into a wedding dress. And I think food is supposed to be fun, just like fitness and the book shows that.
Yeah, in fact, that episode is still in our DVR at home, so the family got to sit down and watch that. So
when we're and you know my schedule more than I do, and I thank you for that, because when we're in Indiana next, you have to work out with me and can take pictures.
Oh, you're a dangerous person, sir.
I just said it on your show, so now you've got to do it.
Ah, you devious little monkey. Yeah. Thank you for saying monkey earlier. I'll fill in, folks. The first time I saw Robert's show, I was his MC, and he made me do. He told me to drop and give him 20, and the first five were okay, and then he just dropped down and banged out 10 as if it was absolutely nothing. And looking at me the entire time, I stopped doing push-ups. The people are cheering, and then Robert, without even breaking a sweat, hopped up onto his feet while the audience is cheering, and then you smacked me in the behind. Just for a little extra oops.
And we've been friends ever since. And we've been how long ago? 4 or 5 years?
Exactly. And as I told him afterwards, I've had dreams about people from Food Network spanking me. He wasn't one of them. Not even on the charts. Sorry, but you made.
I know you want Rachel Odiado or somebody. I know.
I did not say anything. Anyway, but I think many audience members were jealous. But anyway, yes, and that became a beautiful friendship. So anyway. But I know in the book there are three sections. I believe it's basically the mental aspect, the training aspect, and the rest, the cooking aspect. Is that right?
That's correct. And there's a lot of sites. So what I wanted to do is make sure, like the shows that I do, I want everybody, no matter what it is, somebody to take something away, and it's different for all of us. So there's lots of great tips to help you, not only cooking, but also, you know, when you look for food and when you look at meat and you look at poultry and fish. And so there's a lot of tips on how to pick the right foods and what to look for if they're bad, because nowadays we unfortunately add gas and stuff to meats to make them look red. Mm-hmm. They necessarily don't stay fresh, but they look red. So we give you a lot of information on that, a lot of information about how to make simple food taste good without all the fat and salt. And it just goes along with my mission of educating America into different food styles, simple food, making life easier and having fun.
Well, I noticed, I think I was reading on your Twitter page, you had a recipe, and now that it's summer, basically, you had a halibut recipe. It seems like summer is the perfect time to work, dabble in seafood.
There is so much amazing seafood that you can get in this country. You can't get anywhere. You know, I lived and worked in Jamaica, and I couldn't get fresh fish. It's an island.
Whoa.
Same with Aruba. Yeah, it's scary. And here we are, and we've got all these resources, and, you know, people are afraid to cook with them. And I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to try the food, and you'll be surprised. And it's so funny because I posted a couple of those recipes on Twitter, like you said, and people are making them and sending me pictures. And I encourage people, especially with kids, you know, we have a 10-year-old young man. Obviously, I know Amber Cooks. It excites me to know that these kids are going there with parents and they're not afraid to cook. And it's amazing what you see these kids programs now with the next best junior chef and these kids, Guy Fieri and Rachel Ray,
yep,
have one,
yep,
which I judged on, and I've got to tell you, oh my goodness. 8 years old, better than some of the chefs that I know.
Exactly. Emma wants to be a judge on one of them, and she wants to ask the contestants what their food costs are.
Now, I don't know. They'd probably be able to tell you that, too. I've never asked them that, but they'd probably be able to tell you that.
Exactly. So one of the other things I think that happens with this book is, I know you get asked a lot about how do you maintain your physique and how you and who you are. I mean, and I think this book sounds like it's going to be a big answering of that question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting in front of the gym right now as we're talking. Funny enough, I got off a plane. I leave again tomorrow, but I got to get my workout in. I think that for me, I'm Gail. Obviously, I was really into fitness before I met Gail, but Gail has really pushed me to a different level of, you know, the balance. And what fitness does for me, and the book explains really clearly, is, listen, we don't all have the same goals, you know? If you want to put on a nice dress or wear a bikini in the summer, this is the way you do it. If you want to be a big, muscular guy, this is the way you do it. And everybody can get, or a child doing an elliptical machine. There's something for everybody, and there's not one mold fits all, you know, and fitness isn't about that. Fitness is about taking your own personal goals and achieving those goals over a period of time that you're comfortable with. And a lot of that is a lifestyle change. It's not just going to a gym and, you know, pumping iron. I don't lift heavy weights. I do a lot of exercise. And it's so funny because I was in the gym in Iowa yesterday, and a guy came up to me. He's like, oh, you're huge. And I'm like, no, look at the weight I use, 30 pounds, and I do 100 reps of that weight.
Okay.
You know, I pull it down 100 times. I don't need to put, you know, 700 pounds and jerk and move. And that's not what fitness is to me. I'm 50 years old almost. I'm going to send you an invite to my 50th birthday in Connecticut. Don't worry.
Okay.
In September. And, you know, life is about, for me, enjoying myself. And for me to put a set of headphones on, and I'm watching Netflix, and I'm watching a lot of great documentaries on the Second World War, the First World Korea, because it interests me. And I get it in, I get into that zone, I do 45 minutes of cardio, then I lift some weights, and I go out and I feel so energized.
Mm-hmm. One of the things my dad used to say with as far, in regards to people that were either so huge, I mean, as far as overweight, or guys that were so buff as far as giant arms, he would always ask the question, how can they clean themselves?
You jump in the shower and you rub a duck duck.
Right.
Three men in the tub.
Yeah. When you have like 40-inch arms, but you can't, you know, you can't bend over and pick up something. That's a little frightening.
Well, I'm not in that category.
Nope.
So I'm okay with that.
Exactly.
I can pick my nose and I can scratch my nose and I can scratch my back and that. You know, again, I'm not looking for size. I'm just looking for healthiness.
Okay.
I want to make sure I have a polycystic kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people know, I'm not afraid to talk about it. At some point, one of my kidneys will pack in. I can't take aspirins or anything that irritates that. So for me, fitness and eating as clean as I can with a little indulgence is very important to me personally because, you know, I have this disease. Basically, it's ulcers on the kidneys that at some point will overtake the kidney function and will have to be replaced. But the way in which I eat and the way in which I exercise helps me control that.
So
it's a lifestyle choice. You know, I have kids that have stage 4 cancer that I work out with, one of them, beautiful little 10-year-old, just in remission after a year of chemo and radiation. And I met her, amazing young girl, very strong. And I said, let me kind of give you a little video. So when you're in chemo, you know, I'm with you thinking about it. And then at the end of the day, I said, you know what? No, tell your dad, McKenna, her name is, when you go into chemo, you text me or you whatever, and I'll FaceTime with you. So I FaceTime with her for a year. Every time she's in chemo, and we've become great friends. She's in remission from the 29th of January. And even on my vacation on the beach in Aruba with my team, we would FaceTime. Her last chemo was in January, at the end of January. And, you know, I was on bated breath because, you know, here's this young, vibrant human being with a great attitude that's really sick, and she beat it, and she's exercising, and you know, what we eat, how we exercise, prolongs life, and that's it. I mean, that's why I'm an advocate of kids getting out, getting off computers, and this is a great book for kids and parents to do together.
Indeed, we'll be looking for it. Any idea when it might be hitting stores?
We're putting. I self-published it, which I'm very happy about. So it's on my website right now, shepherdofmind.com, and then it will be on Amazon. I'm not sure which stores it's going to go to yet.
Okay.
But you can get it on the website, and you can pre-order it right now. It comes out in August, I believe, although we are going to send out the pre-autographed books in July. So I'm very excited about that, and this is how cool it is. The publisher sends me the front page of the book before they even bind them. I actually sign the pages, and then I send them back, and they put them in the book itself. It's not like you send me a book and I sign them. It's actually the page that they put into the book, which I think is really cool.
Nice touch. Very cool.
So,
and I heard somewhere through the grapevine that there might be book signings later on this year, so I'll have to verify that.
Yeah, we're looking at that. You know, again, schedule. We're trying to find out what we're doing with the daytime talk show right now. So as I know that, you obviously would be the first to know that because you always are. If I'm not telling you one of my team is, I think you're part of my team, actually, but I don't pay you.
Yeah, well, you pledged to pay me. Remember, it's public radio.
Listen, here's what it is. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
I pay you in push-ups.
That I watch.
And you know I love public radio. I've just done an interview, Matthew, about my foundation, Robert Irvine Foundation, and how we give back. And I thank all the people in press and TV that do good reporting and good stories to give hope to other people. And public radio is a great way to do that. So, and your show, obviously, and I'm not sucking up to you. Your show, you know I love it anyway.
Thank you.
It's just good listening. And at the end of the day, we don't want to hear about all the bad stuff all the time.
Right.
There's got to be some good stuff. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that. And yeah, I'm going to start training now that you put me on spot.
Don't worry, I want videos too.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'll do the DVD commentary. So I know you're also doing a few live shows. How has it changed from the Emma and I saw one, I believe, last year. How has it changed since then?
Well, the live show, you know, I keep pushing the team to be, you know, better and bigger. And now the show has a wheel of doom. I wouldn't say fortune, a wheel of doom.
Okay.
That not only picks food but takes equipment away and gives challenges. Lots more video involved in and what we do and what we've done in the past year and how we've raised money and built homes and all these things with Gary Sinise. And just really, the show is in, I think it's like seventh generation in 4 years.
Yeah.
And we just keep adding and taking away and listening to what the folks have to say. And I got to tell you, not only is it a fun show, it's exciting. It's I don't know what's going to happen. That's the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes so frequently. But we're also doing good. You know, the merchandise, the portion of the book sales, and the merchandise and all the things that we do in the real world of Robert Irvine goes to the foundation so we can help other families in need.
And I know the last time we saw you, you did a cooking demo before the show with some cooking students, if I remember correctly. This was out in Joliet, Illinois.
Yes. Yeah, we do a little VIP thing before, which is always good because, you know, I don't get that much time with people because my schedule is so busy. We travel 150 days a year with the military. And then the show schedule and the live show and all the other corporate partners that I have. So for me, that time of VIP and getting to hang with people that I care about. And people say to me, oh, you're so tough. And I am tough, and you know this.
Yeah.
There's a time frame to get things done. It's a real show, a Restaurant Impossible. Real people, real problems, real solutions. And we don't have a lot of time, so I'm intense.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get to these live shows, and you know, I love to have fun, and I love to listen and talk. And in fact, if I had my way, I would talk for 4 hours prior to the show, because I there's so much to share and so little time to share with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the interaction. I think my life has changed dramatically since Restaurant Impossible started, and obviously you were at the beginning of that with the live show and all these other things. And I've changed because the show has changed my life.
Yes.
You know, not only do we change people's lives, the show has actually changed me as a person, for the better, I think. I just love the interaction of the guests that we have, and I love to see kids have fun. I love to see them scream and shout and run around, and it's just a fun time.
Now, I think you mentioned earlier that RI did get picked up.
Yep, we are starting to film season 12. So we've done 138 episodes to date, and we've got another season coming up. We're starting to film that in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the downtime was really good from a foundation of, you know, this weekend we just did the Grand Marshal, the Memorial Day Parade. I was made a Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, honorary. Just doing a lot of good stuff that I really enjoy doing. So the downtime for me has not been downtime really, but we're booking plans for a trip to Cuba for the military, Djibouti, and then back to Afghanistan to make sure we thank our troops. We were just in Lima, Ohio, I think it is.
Lima. Either way.
Is that correct, Lima?
We'll call. I'll tell you, I think it's a song lyric. You say Lima, I say Lima. Let's call the whole thing off.
No, it's not Lima. Lima's in Peru. It's Lima.
Ah, very good. So I stand corrected. There you go. Sorry,
that's
Ohio.
That's how I remember it, because I kept saying Lima, and they said, no, it's not Lima. That's Peru.
Okay.
That's the only reason I remember it. But I got a chance to drive the new Abrams tank, which was unbelievable, and thank the 450 workers at the tank place for what they do for our military, and just awesome stuff, Matt. I just love to see the faces when you give.
Yes.
And it's time, it's money, it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter, but it's something about the smile on kids, the smile on veterans, the smile on whoever when you're doing something good.
Well, I noticed from the last season of RI that there was a little one, that the challenges were different, and two, we got to kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit as far as how the show was made, how you encounter it. Is that going to continue on with the upcoming season?
I'm very excited that we are actually the new season is all kind of ambushy.
Yep.
And you're going to see an awful lot of behind the scenes, and because I want you to see how real this show is, and you know because you've been there. But a lot of people think reality TV, and most of it isn't real. Restaurant Impossible is real. You know, if I get upset, you know it. If I'm angry, you know it. If I'm happy, you know it. I dance.
Yep.
Badly, I might add. But so there's a lot more of that. And I think that when people see the ambush show that we did in Orlando, which was a great show, and they really enjoyed seeing what happens. So I think that's the kind of vein we're going. But again, it changes every week I go. I don't know where I'm going. So, and I like that.
There's a fun moment watching it with Emma that whenever we see Mark Summers on camera, Emma goes, uh-oh, oh boy.
Yeah, that means something's going wrong.
Something is amiss. So,
yeah.
Now, you mentioned also earlier Chopped Impossible.
Yeah, we just did a limited season, 4 episodes, which is very uplifting, very motivational. 4 episodes of champion, chop champions that come back, and they get the chance to win a large amount of money, but also to go against me at the end. But they've got to get to that point. So there's a lot of personal growth in this, and that's the reason, you know, I don't do competition shows, because most of them are prefixed. There's a reason I did this, because it was mentoring and motivational, and that's how I see myself. It's not about how many competitions you can win, how much money you've got. That's not life to me. Life is about bringing people on in their life and helping them, and I think you're going to get a kick out of this. It's really, really good. So we just finished that last week.
All right. Well, we'll be looking out for that. Now, Robert, you gave me a challenge as far as push-ups, which I'm going to get starting on right away. I have a cooking challenge for you, sir, and I will be in touch very soon. I am currently acting in a production of Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus, which is his bloodiest tragedy, far bloodier than Macbeth, far bloodier than Coriolanus. And I don't know how much you know of the story of Titus Andronicus, but I want you to look this up. And then I will get a report. I will get an update from you later on. But I would like to know how you would prepare Chiron and Demetrius. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Well, you have to text me that so I can check it into it.
I will text that to you. And then, yeah, you can call me a sickie later. But I would like to know how you would prepare Chiron and Demetrius. So ladies and gentlemen, we have a cliffhanger so we can find out how Robert will prepare Chiron and Demetrius. Robert, it's really glad to reconnect with you. And you're a busy man. So keep good pace this summer.
Listen, you know, I keep following you on Twitter, and we don't talk as much because it's crazy, but, you know, I love you guys, and the family's awesome, and we will hook up in Indiana somewhere.
Very, very soon, and I'll get in touch with Gail, and I'll get her review of Mad Max, and, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
All right.
Oh, actually, wait a minute, one other, I'm sorry, I'm being Columbo now. What's the one thing in the gym that Gail can do that you can't?
Look good.
Oh, good answer. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, no matter, she never perspires. She always looks like perfect. And she's my inspiration for working harder. And she's the only person that can push me more than I can push myself.
I think that's a gymnastics version of yes, dear, and I'm with you. All right, Robert, I'll be in touch with you soon.
All right, take care.
All right, take care.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.